Welcome to Living as Love with Jared. This is a special release podcast episode of a recent satsang in Mullumbimby, Australia. It does have some heavy rain at some points of the recording, so I apologise for this. I've done my best to make it as audible as possible. Enjoy.
I love listening to the birds. Mullumbimby has so many birds. It's like a chorus. This is the first time I've stayed in Mullumbimby, and I love it here. The feeling is that there's not a lot of image going on here. There is an image. There's a kind of hippie culture here in Mullumbimby. And maybe in times past, I would have felt uncomfortable not fitting into that image. And I might have actually tried to fit into it by dressing up like it to make sure that I'm accepted and loved, actually. But what I find here is, firstly, I can't pretend to be someone I'm not. It's such a relief. I grew up in the Sydney eastern suburbs. Kind of private school. And so here it is. But the thing is that nobody cares here. And so there's this synergy between no one caring and me not caring. With me being my authentic self and everybody else being their authentic self. And that's, on some very basic level, that's what I'm here to talk about. Say that there is a way that you can be yourself so deeply that no effort is required. That actually you can even risk it that maybe nobody does accept you. Because actually in being myself, that's the risk that I take. I didn't arrange it first, make sure that everyone's going to accept me. I just say, here I am, as I am. That sounds so simple, and it is so simple. It's just far more challenging than you can believe. Because actually, to be yourself, you have to risk everything. To be yourself, you have to be willing to actually first not know who you are. Because everybody is walking around with an identity. Everybody, over time, quite naturally, have developed an internalized story of who we think we are. Some of them are loud, some of them we talk to ourselves very loudly, some of them are very quiet, subconscious, but running in the background. I'm a good person. I'm a bad person. I'm enlightened. I'm not enlightened. Whatever it is, this is the human condition on this planet right now. It's a collective trance that we talk to ourselves and imagine that who we are is an image in our head. So when I say be yourself, I'm not saying be who you think you are. Because surely who you really are is already true and already here before you think yourself. So to discover who you are, you have to pass through this doorway of not knowing who you are. It's really the doorway of a completely quiet mind. Then, when your mind is completely quiet and there's no story that's influencing what you think is happening and who you think is here, then from that quiet intelligence, then you can see what is here. What is here? What is actually here all the time? My story is not here all the time. When I'm telling myself a good story, I feel wonderful. It's great. But how long does that good story last? How long until I say something stupid? You can time it. Inevitably, something happens. Something either happens outside or something happens inside that says to me that I'm not good enough. I'm not successful. I'm not liked. There's danger. There's a problem. And then suddenly my story of who I am changes. So if it's changing, how true is it? So this is not something I've made up, not something I've invented. This is really me passing on what my teacher gave to me. It's passing on this absolutely simple, ridiculously simple teaching to stop imagining who you are and find out what is here always, what doesn't come and go. What I found was that when I stopped telling the story of Jared, both good and bad, that what was here was just an open, silent presence. Simple and clear. Empty. And of course, my mind immediately said, well, that can't be it. That's a little... it's too kind of boring. It doesn't have the flashing lights and the fireworks that I was looking for, I was expecting. But in the willingness to actually dive deeper into what's already here, something released. What released was the search for something that's not here. What finished was this attempt to either fix myself or change myself or get something new that's not already here. And you could say this is really the source of suffering. Suffering is wanting to change what's here or get away from what's here or want to get something that's not here. And that's very gross, but it happens on a very subtle level. And I'd say for you now to just reflect and see, how does that show up for you? Either wanting to change or fix what's already here, or to find something or get something that's not here. It's so natural. And yet if the search is for ultimate happiness, for freedom, for truth, then my invitation right now is to stop. Stop trying to escape what's here and stop looking for anything that's not here. And see, what's your experience? What's your experience? If you actually end the search here and now and be willing to find out what is here, what is already here, How big is it? How deep is it? How alive is it? Then you can tell the truth. What are the barriers? What jumps up in front of you as you open? As you surrender, something jumps up. Something comes up to scare you away. And that's actually, whatever that is, that's your doorway home. Quite naturally, for some of us, it's a fear of not being in control, fear of annihilation, fear of not knowing, fear of not being loved, fear of failure. There's a long list. And whatever that is actually your gateway home. So if fear of failure comes up, that was my particular one. What my teacher said is fail all the way. Fail completely. Even in this game of enlightenment. This was profound for me. To actually fail at what I wanted. And in failing, oh my God. It's like a trap door opens up. And you fall into what's already here. Fear of annihilation. If that's your one, I invite you. Be annihilated right now. What's the experience? All of these fears are fears of the individuated mental identity of who I think I am. It's a myth. We live in a society of myth. Everywhere you look, there's a myth, a collective myth. A company is a collective myth. There's no such thing as a company. There's just several people who agree to it. Several people who write down a constitution and the rules of the company and who's in charge. And if we all agree and the government agrees, there's a company. But there is no company. Nation states, countries, it's a myth. Again, it's a group of people have to get together, write a constitution as well, write a bunch of rules, make a border, and then we can give it a name. We'll call this Australia. It's beautiful, it makes things easier for travel, other things. But it's a myth. It's a collective myth. And it's everywhere you look, these stories that we tell ourselves to help us feel like we are in control. To give us a sense of knowing what's happening, to protect against the truth, that we have no idea what's going on. I'm here to announce that I have no idea what's going on. I won't speak for you. But I can say that I could never have said I don't know what's going on in the past. because that would have been too risky, and I was too busy pretending I knew what was going on. I thought if I admitted to not knowing what was going on, that everything would fall apart and that no one would love me. So here in this meeting, we're just here to bust all the myths. And finally, really, the root myth. There's like a straw that breaks the camel's back. There's a linchpin myth. And that myth is I. Me. And that myth, you convince yourself of it every morning. And then you spend your day convincing other people of it. And because they're so busy with their own one, they will agree with yours. Inevitably, this myth of I leads to suffering. Simply because you have limited your idea of who you are to a myth, to a story. And no matter how wonderful that story is, it will never be as wonderful as the truth. Because it will always be limited. Limited to your language, limited to your capacity to tell stories. But what's here before any myth, what's here when all the myths disappear, it's mind-blowing. It's unthinkable. It's unfathomable. It's beyond story. So many people come here looking for a better story. And it's really common and no problem. I honor you if you've come here for that reason. I honor you for whatever reason you're here. Whatever reason that brought you here, wow, you can say thank you to that reason. Because it brought you here. Brought you to yourself. One of the reasons people come here is to have a better me. Generally, every human being is spending their days trying to have a better me. That's really what human beings are busy with at the moment. And so then quite naturally, these kind of meetings, it's the same thing. We're looking for now an enlightened me, even a peaceful me, a loving me. That's what brought me to my teacher. And then my teacher turned to me and said, now that you're here, stop. Now that you're here, find out who you really are. Even if you're scared, it's not going to be a better one. Even if it feels like there'll be no you. And that was the fear, right? What if there's no me? Or what if there's a horrible me? So if I'm not trying to make a better me, what if I look and open, and what if I find something there that's horrible? That's greedy, that's... that causes suffering. And so I had to take that risk. Truth is, I already thought what I was going to find was something horrible. That's what I thought. That's what I'd been running from. And And so then finally when I looked, there's the great good news. There was no me. There's nothing. Absolutely nothing. There was no me and there was no you. In discovering no me and no you, there's a discovery of oneness, of absolutely no separation. Oh my God, that's what love is. Love isn't two separate beings attached to each other because they can give each other a better story. Love is the recognition that I am everywhere, that there's no separation. So, this is my invitation to you to just check and see if this is true for you. Not to believe me, please. Don't believe a word I'm saying. But I pass on the message of my teacher, which is just to stop. Stop trying to make a better you and actually find out who you really are. And to see what's the challenge. Is this making sense? So for each one of us, there's a particular challenge to it. And that challenge is actually really invited to be here. It's actually a unique challenge for you, and it gives you your pathway home. So I invite you to bring it here, if it's here. Any challenges? It's so simple. Yes. Hi, Annika.
So firstly, I was telling my friend the other day about you and saying that you were the first person who ever told me that I didn't have to go through thousands of lifetimes of thousands of reincarnation,
yes,
and suffering,
yes,
to have the freedom. And just like when Eli told you to stop, as Papaji had told him,
yes,
when you told me I didn't need to suffer for thousands more lifetimes,
yes,
and that's never left me.
Mm.
And, oh, so much gratitude for that. And then tonight when you started talking about the notion of identity and perception and trying to be a better version of myself, that truth of what has up until now been so strong in me, be good, be this, be that, be lovable.
Yes.
And when that got blown apart last year, that core wound, that fixation, however you want to framework it.
Yes.
Since then, it's just been this deepening of seeing I don't have to be anything for anyone.
Yes.
And what a freedom that is, because each time that gets shown to me anew in the freshness of being here in presence, there's such a beauty.
Yes.
Yeah. Of me.
Yes.
I am lovable. And fuck it if no one else thinks so.
Yes.
I don't care.
You're so much more lovable as yourself than trying to be something else.
Yes. And it's so much less hard work.
Yes.
Because there's not the strain, the straining. And it's not consistent, but
no.
This is the more natural state of being now.
Yes.
And then I notice it more acutely when I find my mind creating this story that it should be, I should be this, that or the other.
That's right.
Or someone else tells me.
That's right.
They project a diagnosis onto me of you're this or that. And I'm like, no, actually, I'm really happy.
So that's right. They're your tests.
Yeah, very much.
And your tests actually help you to deepen.
Yeah.
To stabilize as nobody.
Yep.
As yourself.
Yep. And it's so sweet because each time I come back to me, that is, it's that one step less of self-betrayal. It's that...
That's right.
That strengthening of living integrity.
Yes.
And it really is that. And so each time I get tested and I swing away,
that's
and then
right.
I come back to that center point, that still point, which is sparkling with life and love.
Yes.
It dances. It just, there's this constant dance in me.
Yes.
So even if the externals are going a bit not great, there's this joy, like this constant
joy.
Can
everyone see it? You might not be able to hear it, but at least you should be able to see it. Oh.
It's like the rain, you know? It just gets it's like little flickers of, you know, just love and light, just the dance of life. It's just...
So happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's really, this is the good news.
It's actually
that's
perfect.
Your theme song.
Oh, so grateful.
Oh, I'm so grateful too.
Yeah.
Because this wasn't your report last year.
No. Quite the opposite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is a profound shift.
Huge.
And it's a shift to simply being yourself.
Yeah.
Where it's, you're not a victim of your mother or a victim of them.
Yep.
Of the boss or whoever it is.
Totally. That's very funny.
Yes.
Now that you are one of them.
Yes. Yes. But it means you take responsibility.
Yeah.
You're responsible to be yourself.
Yes.
And to have integrity to the truth. And when you have integrity to yourself, to what's natural, that includes saying no when you mean no. It includes saying yes. It includes not blaming.
Yeah.
It includes letting go of the victim, which is an identity story.
Yeah.
So then, if there's no identity story, there's no victim and there's no perpetrator.
Yeah. And it still can arise, and that's okay too, even within that.
That's right.
I'm learning not to judge that.
That's right.
But learning that I can trust, going back to the still point.
Yes.
That I don't have to set up all these safety barriers.
Yes.
Or safety nets.
Yes, you can actually sink so deeply into the still point.
Yeah.
That the waves just come and go on the surface.
Yeah.
So things can arise. But you don't have to touch them.
Yeah.
And you don't have to leave the still point and come back to the still point and leave it and come back. You can just stay there.
Well, it's always felt. It's always felt, but the mind takes a detour.
Yes.
So when I say it's not me leaving it, because that's actually really present and noticeably present. There's not the veils disguising it anymore.
Yes.
So now it's just the mind doing a little bit of a...
Yes.
Checks out for a moment, and then it can come back. Yes. And even that's okay, because the inherent stillness doesn't disappear.
That's right.
It just doesn't. So good. Yeah,
that's so good.
And it's not simple, but it is. You know, like where I was a year ago now.
Yes.
That feels like a whole different person.
Yes, but back then it was complicated.
It was.
This is simple.
Yes.
This is silent presence.
Yeah.
Nothing happening.
Yep.
Nobody here.
No.
So simple. Thank you, Annika.
Thank it's very you so beautiful. Much,
Jim. I'm so glad. Yes.
Same here. Yeah.
Thank you. Hi.
I came here with two questions. And the first one is that I was having a tense discussion with someone a few weeks ago, and when I got off the phone, I went into this really deep space. It felt like being a baby again, and noticed how everything I do is about connection, wanting to be loved. And with my life the way it is at the moment, I have quite a bit of time on my own, and there's a lot of pain there from not feeling connected.
Yes.
To people.
Yes.
Not feeling loved.
Yes, it's very painful.
Yeah, and there's just something that, you know, I can feel the well of love in me sometimes, but there's something that wants it with people, you know, wants to feel the resonance, the connection.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody wants to feel the connection.
Mm.
And that's why you're here.
Mm.
It's beautiful. I encourage you. What it will say is that pain is like a holy pain. It's actually calling for your attention.
Yeah.
It wants you to feel it fully. To actually be 100% completely in pain from this lack of connection. See, because you've tried to get connection.
Yeah.
So the pain pushes you out into the world and out to other people to get connection. And yep. You've gotten it lots of times.
Yeah.
But it never seems to fulfill you.
Yeah.
Because that pain is still here.
And connection with others comes and goes.
That's right. So what if you go instead trying to go to outside to get connection and you go inside? What if you fall back into it? Yes, but it's a beautiful pain. It's a pain of wanting connection.
Doesn't it feel beautiful?
Of course it doesn't. It's pain. But it's here, and it hasn't gone away since you're a little girl. So why not meet it? Why not open to it? I feel it completely.
I'm not sure I know how to do that.
There's not really a how. It's an absence of doing. Since it's already here, you just say yes to it. You feel it. Don't tell a story. Just open to the pain of disconnection and fall into it. It's like right now, can you drop your attention into this pain? Yes. And you can fall all the way into it.
It's quite hard. I can feel resistance.
Yes, that's right. If it was easy, you wouldn't be sitting here. Yes, that's my role, is to kind of hold your hand as you fall into the pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not easy. Yeah, so you don't tell a story about it, but you're open to the pain. And then see what's underneath the pain. What's even deeper?
Space.
Space. Fall into the space.
But it's lonely there.
Okay, so loneliness shows up. So be completely lonely. You've tried to get away from loneliness for so long, and it hasn't worked. So be completely alone. Just for a moment, and fall into it. And you can be so completely alone that there's no boundary between you and aloneness. So that you become kind of merged, or you become one with aloneness. What's that?
It's not so bad.
It's not so bad. Yes. Isn't that interesting? Whatever that feeling is of not so bad, you might find it's even pleasurable. I mean, you are smiling. Why don't you fall into that and become one with that, whatever that good feeling is inside that's deeper than loneliness? What is that feeling?
I don't know.
It's beautiful. That's a good start.
I learnt a while ago this technique when I'm feeling really strong emotions and my head's going, rambling loudly, to just kind of welcome.
The problem with the technique is it's always a strategy to avoid the pain. Even if the strategy says welcome the pain, it's still, you're looking for a technique to make this feel better. But what just happened now that you've popped out of is that we went into the pain, right into the pain, yeah. And then into the space and into the loneliness, and you fell out the bottom into happiness. You discovered something deeper than loneliness.
Well, still lonely there, it's just not so grief-stricken.
Well, it gets deeper and deeper, and the more you're willing to let your boundaries disappear. Because when you disappear, who's alone?
Don't know.
That's right. So for there to be aloneness, there has to be a you. But when that one surrenders, then there's no such thing as alone, because there's no you.
So what do I do when my head's talking really loudly?
Chop it off.
Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. Do you know what I mean?
No.
It's like if you just make believe right now that you can take your head off and put it on the floor just here. What's that experience like? Just make believe that you can take your head off and put it on the floor.
I'm finding that tricky to imagine because my eyes would have to go. But they can see you here.
Yes.
I can't quite do that easily.
Thinking is an addiction as a way of avoiding the terror of being a human being. Thinking is a way to strategize yourself away from feeling what's here. The trick is, don't touch the next thought. And then you can actually fall into yourself, which we just did, so you just had a taste of it.
Into the feeling.
Yeah, when you were falling in, there were no thoughts. You were just falling in.
Mm.
And you go through layers of pain, and there might be some terror, there might be some anger, there might be some loneliness. But if you fall through these layers, all these layers are limited. They all have a beginning and an end. And eventually you will fall out the bottom into what doesn't have a beginning and doesn't have an end. Eventually you'll fall out into yourself, into the space that holds all feelings.
So if my head's protesting very loudly about something, it's avoiding feeling.
Well, check out what's the emotion related to your head protesting. What's the emotion?
It'll be fear.
Fear.
Terror.
There it is. That fear and that terror, That's your gateway home.
To welcome it and surrender into it?
Yes, but not as a strategy to make it go away. There's a moment where you just, it's the end of all strategies. All we're talking about is to really surrender to be yourself. To be yourself. And if that means alone, be alone. If that means terrified, be terrified. What would it be like to just be yourself completely? So simple.
Well, then when I'm angry at my son, I'm being angry.
Better to be angry than be angry at your son. Just be angry. If you're angry, be angry. What you can find out is what's deeper.
Say that again?
What's deeper? Find out who you are.
So it's not a strategy. I keep thinking it's a strategy.
Yes. How can you be a strategy?
Well, a tool to surrender into something deeper.
Use whatever tool you can. I recommend it. I don't have any tools with me right now, but whatever tool you can find, use it. Finally, you'll fall into what isn't a strategy. You fall into what's natural. There's something here that's natural. It's natural, it's alive. You don't have to make effort for it. And if you're really open to it, you'll find it's connected to everything.
Even the anger and the terror?
Yes, why not? So then you stop trying to control your experience. Stop trying to fix it. Stop trying to make it better. Stop trying to escape yourself. Only because you've tried it and it hasn't worked. Right?
Yep.
So then, stop everything. What's here if you stop everything?
What's here? I don't know.
That's the beginning.
It's harder to do at home on my own.
Yes, that's right. So glad.
Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Yes, please. Hey, brother.
Good to be here.
Yes.
Anger.
Yes.
The last few weeks before Christmas, with what we've been through in our country here, with the environment, bushfires, we've had some pretty full-on things happening. And as you know, my charity is about child safety.
Yes.
We've had a bit of, it was 3 weeks ago, there was a pretty big domestic violent things that happened in Brisbane.
Yes.
I found that we were under attack, that we didn't take the position of domestic violence around family violence. It's just for children, a safe place for children. I don't pretend to go and help women or fathers or mothers. It's just for children. In that moment of people getting on our social media, I had to save face, so to speak. I had to reply to some of the things that were being put on there. that we were fake and we shouldn't be posting certain media stuff. When it comes to children, that innocence, somebody who can't protect themselves, which is obviously my story as a baby.
Yeah.
The difference between holding space and being very firm and then bordering and spilling over into anger.
Yeah.
That's been quite prevalent, and I've noticed that. Yeah, I want to say just push back. Then I know to go deeper. I drop below that.
What's below it?
Fear. Fear of being taken control of.
Yes.
So the duality of the two worlds of like being awake, of having a business, of charity, and then there's the silence of having to put those caps on a daily basis.
What duality?
Pardon?
What duality?
Of going into being your name into a business meeting.
Yes.
And having to play in that realm.
Play is the key. See, if you know you are nobody, if you know there's nothing happening, then you play your role and you play it fully. But you are surrendered to the fact that you are not going to get your way all the time. You surrendered at some level, whatever level you are surrendered, to the fact that this world is a world of suffering. And that, I remember Eli saying to me that teaching is like trying to empty the ocean with a teacup. And when I read that, I immediately completely surrendered any attachment to the outcome. See, if you're attached to an outcome or you're attached to your position, then you're going to be washed around in the waves of this physical world. But if you have no attachment to outcome, if you just play your role, you play it and you'll come up against all sorts.
I get that. And I feel like for the role of what I've taken on with the charity, that's the cost. Because I have to go there.
Yes.
But I understand also, it just invoked that, an anger.
Yes.
That, as I understand now, being eight, having that weakness.
Yes.
Seeing as being weak.
Yes.
And I get that I don't have to stand up for every single child. It's impossible and it's not my job to project onto that being or that spirit's journey in life.
Yes.
Their destiny, their chapel is theirs.
Yeah.
If it's in my space, if that's what presents itself, I can be there.
Yes.
As that. But there's that a real big, I get confused between holding that space and being fierce with it and saying, no, that is not tolerated in this circle or in this space. And then there's the anger.
Yeah. No problem with anger. Anger is a natural energy.
You said before, drop. If you're going to be in hurt, go with it. Are you saying that too with anger? No, I'm joking.
I didn't say go with it.
No.
Open to it.
Experience it.
Yeah, feel it fully. Feel enraged at the injustice, at the suffering, at the madness. Don't do anything. Don't spit it out on anybody. Don't tell a story about it. Just open to it. What happens if you just fully open to it? So you don't suppress it and you don't express it out onto somebody.
Well, that's the peace.
Peace.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear that? That's what we're speaking of here. And it's a peace that comes with a certain power. But it's a silent power. So that you can respond with one word or one sentence, where you can respond nicely, but it comes with a certain power.
Well, Stevie asked me at the front door, how am I? I've just learned over the years to say, rather than saying good or bad,
yes.
I'm here.
Yes.
You know, no good weather, no bad weather.
Yes.
But in the day-to-day stuff, it gets a bit... You have to have some type of structure around things in business, and then go home, leave your work boots at the door. And as you know, we've just got, you know, my sixth daughter,
yes,
a week and a half ago. So I've got plenty of little teachers.
Yeah. So things happening on the level of business, no problem.
Mm.
It's a play of form. It's a dance. Mm. Things will go your way, things won't go your way. But there's no... You check and see, is there a separation between the deepest truth and this business meeting?
No.
There's no separation.
No.
There's no holding space either.
Mm.
You can't hold space. The one who wants to hold space, that one surrenders.
Mm.
Then what's left is space. Space does very well by itself. Space knows just what to do. Then when anger comes, let it come. But you don't have to be run by it.
Mm.
The secret for these business meetings is be willing to be wrong.
Mm.
Be willing to be wrong and weak. That's where true courage is.
Mm.
Then you're not run by the fear of being weak or the avoidance of being wrong. Then there's a naturalness that can be there.
Space will do all right, eh?
Space knows just what to do. Doesn't it need your help?
No.
If you ever notice that there's somebody holding space, let that one dissolve back into space.
I love going to that space or place of the no-thingness and then having to be, you know, answer to your name, answer to these external things. And it's just the last couple of weeks, as I said, there's some things
testing
that happened. I was,
yeah,
like,
yeah, it's testing you.
It's a big surge.
Yeah.
Really big.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think it's probably now that's just come through is that being able to say, fuck off, I don't care. I'm not answerable to you. I say that to people. And I give that demeanor to a lot of people, but on the other side, I do care.
That's right.
You know, but yeah, being able to say, yeah, and truly be that.
Yes. So the way to not really caring is through caring.
Mm.
So you tell the truth, I care. And you're open to the pain of people not liking you, people judging you.
Yeah.
And you're open to the pain of it, and that's what drops you deeper. That's when you see deeper. Then you see through to the emptiness that doesn't care. But it doesn't dismiss the caring. Of course we care.
Mm.
We all care. If someone says something to me that I've done something bad, I care. But it doesn't run me.
Mm.
I open to the caring. I open to the pain. I open to the frustration, anger.
That's it. Frustration.
Yeah. Open, open, open. It's all welcome. None of it's separate to the deepest truth.
Mm.
What's separate to space? That's right. So if it's arising in space, let it arise in space. Where's it going to go?
In space.
That's right. And it'll go back to space. That's all that's happening is there's space, empty space, and there are waves of space forming into the appearance. It's waves of consciousness.
Mm.
So play in the waves.
Hang ten.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad, Norm. Beautiful. That's one thing the online world has really taught me as well, is that not everybody's going to like you. it's just, if you're out on social media, somebody's going to tell you you're an idiot. And there's something really wonderful about that. It's very humbling. Yes. Hi.
I just feel anger as well.
Good.
And when you're talking about being open to it, it's just almost like I can hear you, but I can't hear you, or I can't.
Yes.
I just almost want you to do it for me.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, for me, is the. I don't know how to function that, or I know that I go into, I need to do something to open.
Who said that? Who told you that?
A mind, or...
Opening is the opposite to doing. Don't do anything. If you want to feel anger, don't do anything. What's here? If you don't do anything at all, what's here?
I don't know if I can... I don't know what it is. Like I feel the combination of fear, frustration, and anger all together.
Beautiful. There it is. So you're feeling it. So don't do anything. Just let it be here. Quite naturally, we're afraid of the anger. So feel the fear and the frustration. It's here anyway. It's just that you have to tell the truth that most of your life you've been spending trying to make it go away, including in the spiritual search.
Mm.
And that is what's keeping it here, locked in. It's like fighting with a ghost. As long as you fight with it, that ghost is real. I know it feels real. So what do you want?
Yeah, first came, I want that all to go away and be peaceful.
Beautiful. Good that you tell the truth about it. You want it all to go away and be peaceful. And so if you can make believe it all just goes away, what would that give you? Like right now.
Peace and...
Peace.
Like I'm... just can't stand my thoughts. And maybe that's all created, but...
The thing is, you're very good at knowing what you don't want. You're an expert in knowing what you don't want. So you can kind of pick out, I don't want my thoughts, I don't want these feelings. But I don't know that you've become an expert in what you want, in what you do want. What do you want? What's your life about?
Finding love and peace.
Yes.
In my language, finding.
Finding love. Okay, so once you find it, what's your life about then? See, because it's true, at the moment your life is about seeking.
I would not know. I mean, I've got a feeling from, I guess, from childhood. Not childhood, but...
Have you ever felt love before?
Yeah.
What does it feel like?
like the warmness and peace.
So what if you make believe your whole life becomes single-pointedly directed towards love? Where you don't spend a second thinking about what you don't want, but you head straight towards what you do want. So what if from now on your life is about love? Devoted to love, dedicated to love, you're a disciple of love. You sing songs about love.
But you know that mine will...
This right now is not about love.
No.
So... This is what you haven't seen, is that you have an addiction to what's wrong.
And looking into the future.
Yeah. Well, your addiction is to what's wrong, so what's right is always not here. What's right is in a fantasy. But your addiction is pointing out what's wrong, checking what's wrong, finding what's wrong, seeing what's wrong, knowing what's wrong.
Yeah, for sure.
Where are you going to get to with that addiction? Where's that addiction going to take you?
To the hell.
To hell. Yes.
And suffering.
Yes. So if you were to go cold turkey on that addiction, so you forget about what's wrong. I mean, with an addiction, you know, it's like the impulse comes up. So the impulse to find out what's wrong will come. It's not about that. You can't stop that. But to say, no, I'm not interested in talking about what's wrong. I'm not interested in thinking about what's wrong. I'm not interested in dedicating my life and my attention on what's wrong. I want to find out where's love. I want to talk about love. Freedom, peace.
I keep forgetting what you say. Not now, but you know, when we talk and...
This is concentrating on what's wrong. Right now. It's like
Thank
right
you.
Now. Yes.
Thank you.
It's like right now you open to love. I could see it in your face. And the first thought was, I keep forgetting about this. That's like finding what's wrong and then making that the focus.
Okay.
So now just start to notice how there's an addiction to pointing out what's wrong. It somehow gives you something, some sense of safety. I call it like a virus checker. You know, a virus software on a computer, its whole purpose is find what's wrong, right? Find the virus, pick it out, then you can clean the computer and the computer can be better. You have a virus software. Find what's wrong, that way you can make yourself better. But it's not working, it is the virus.
It's a good way to see. Yeah.
So now you've spotted it, now you've reflected and see that the virus software is the virus. So this part of you that is checking what's wrong, that is the thing that's causing you suffering. So turn away from it. So what happens if you turn away from checking what's wrong?
There's not going to be a problem.
There's not going to be a problem, or there isn't a problem? It's like right now, if you turn away from checking what's wrong, what's here? If you're not allowed to check what's wrong.
Then no.
Yes. Now it opens up into something very unknown. Really, this is you coming out of the cave, you know? It's like your reality has been always putting your attention on what's wrong. It's like, if you stop doing that, my God, there's a whole universe out here.
Mm.
I'm so excited for you.
Excited too, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good. Perfect.
Perfect, yes.
Well, thank you.
Oh, I'm so glad. All right, I can't wait to hear a report. That's not uncommon for all of us on some level. I would say that that was also me, maybe it had a different flavour to it. But I was always focused on what was wrong. It's like it gave me a sense of safety. Like if I stop looking at what's wrong, I've said it once before, it's like being in a room and there's a snake in the corner. It's like, of course you're going to have your eye on that snake. The thing is that in this game, we're saying the snake is not actually real. And you spend your whole life like staring at the snake and then desperate for freedom, desperate to just enjoy your time. And so the only way to do that is to stop looking at the snake and take the risk that it's going to bite you and just enjoy yourself. And then you see that it doesn't bite you because there is no snake. It was all in our heads. So then you can reflect, what's my snake? You know, what am I putting my attention on? What is it that I think is wrong that shouldn't be here? And what could happen if I stop checking? What could happen if I turn towards actually what I want, what I love? There are a lot of things about myself I didn't like before, and they're all still here. Only difference is I don't think about them anymore. I mean, they show up, but they don't have the same charge because I know what I want. And I know what I want is here. I realized what I want is love. Love is what I want. And I recognize love is here. I am a lover. Deeper than that, I am love. And I recognize the truth of that and was willing to die to that, willing to turn away from all the snakes, because actually it feels like there's a bunch of snakes and they're all trying to get me. But to just surrender to being love, then it's like, okay, come and get me, everything. All the demons can come and get me. Because I know what I want. So that's a big shift as well, to find out what do you want. Find out what do you want. If you had one day to live, what's your life about? Hello.
I've been suffering a lot through wanting a relationship that I was really doing this all the time. So I stopped it because I wanted to stop the suffering. And I am learning so much by this, just being in this and the grasping of the suffering. And I said, you're suffering, step outside it, or step inside me, or what's here? And it's continual, it's really, really continual. It's is exhausting, actually.
What is?
Sorry?
What's exhausting?
The continual going there. I'm trying not to, but I go there.
Going where?
To the suffering. It's like I'm addicted to it. So today it was interesting. A friend and I were having lunch, and she said, "Oh, I'm going to tell you something, and don't get upset," which, of course, straight away you're waiting to get upset, you know? And I'm thinking, don't get upset, you know, no suffering. And I, her words were, I'd hurt somebody with some words I'd said to this person, not her, it was somebody else. And the first thing was, poor me, I've done it wrong again. And I said, that's just your talking. You know that isn't actually the real truth. And she said, now don't close down. I mean, I did. I just closed, and I was really struggling with myself. And I said, well, what's true here? You didn't mean to hurt the person. So you have to sit with what you maybe should or shouldn't have said and take the responsibility of what you take and what you said. And there was so much pulling back on it, and, you know, and I accept the responsibility that, you know, I should mind my own business, really. But what's coming up for me is that I now want to send her a message of saying, I'm sorry, I didn't really mean to hurt her. But I can hear this thing wanting to justify it. And I really don't know what to do. I mean, you know, I don't feel I should leave it alone, but, and I don't want to justify it because I just have to take the responsibility of it. But
who are you again? Who are you?
Who am I?
Yes.
I'm an energy force.
So many eyes. So many eyes. So many me. I did this, I did that.
Yeah.
Find out who you are. I'm not going to give you advice about what to say to your friend.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know.
What I want to do is question who you think you are. And to see what happens if you just don't know for a moment. Mm. What if you don't know who you are?
No, I don't.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. Mm. And so what if you just let yourself not know? Mm. What's the experience to not know who you are? Just for a moment.
It's a relief.
Yes. Mm. What a relief. Mm.
The judge sort of leaves, and
yes.
I'm sitting in peace.
Yeah. Yes. Then from here, relate to your friends from here as nobody. I shouldn't say that, as nobody. In this state of being where you open to not knowing who you are and you drop down out of your head into this peace.
Yeah.
Live from here. Because what happens is you start to know who you are, and then all the problems begin. I did it wrong, I should have done.
Yeah.
And everything people say is a threat to this I. It's like they're going to say I'm bad or I did something wrong. Yeah. You can never fix that eye. That eye is always going to be, it's like a ping pong game. But you can tell the truth, I don't know who I am.
Yeah.
And that's a trap door. That's like an opening that drops you into a space that is has no name. It has no concept either. This thing of I'm an energy is a concept up here. Don't know who you are. That's the entryway. Then there's peace.
Yeah.
Then you meet your friends like this. It's more vulnerable.
Yeah.
Then you can say sorry or not. Then you can defend yourself or not. It doesn't really matter. You just let it come naturally from here.
Yeah. There's so much judgment.
Where? Down here?
No.
Yeah, and what you did was, it's good that you're aware of that.
Yeah.
But again, that's like a focusing on what's wrong. Yeah. It's like, tell me a story about here.
Yeah.
What's so much in your heart? Mm-hmm. I know about judgment. I've heard enough about judgment. Tell me about this. Mm-hmm. Tell me about love. Tell me about peace.
Yeah.
Do you dare to put your attention in this space?
I think it's also the vulnerability of it.
Yes.
You know, it's...
Yes.
You know, and what I've been, you know, on this path of allowing me find me again, there's so much vulnerability at times I just, you know, I can feel I feel alone and I'm missing the person and I just said, well, let's go inside and just really feel really what's here.
And?
Yeah, and gradually it eases, yeah. I allow the hurt, I go there and I allow it to just melt into my heart.
Yes, yeah. Yes, the I that's allowing it.
Sorry?
The one that's allowing it, that one melts. Mm. So that all that's left is your heart.
Yeah.
Just the heart. What if you were a walking heart?
A walking heart.
Yes. You kind of look like
bloody.
One.
Bloody. You too, what the mind thing.
I love it. I love with your scarf, you look like a heart on legs.
I can see this little heart with little tiny feet.
Yes.
And it's going...
Stay in your heart. It's so simple. Vulnerability is a feeling.
Yeah.
The truth of yourself is not vulnerable at all. It's the only thing that's not vulnerable. Mm. How do you kill space? How do you injure emptiness? How can you kill love? They're all, the truth of who we are, what's always here, is completely invulnerable. Mm. It feels vulnerable as you open to it.
Yeah.
Quite naturally. But then you tell the truth even deeper and you say, is my own presence, is my own consciousness, is life truly vulnerable? Mm. The body is vulnerable. Full stop. It's vulnerable.
Yeah.
So. Mm. Oh, thank you, Larry. So, thank you so much. I'm so grateful. I had fun too. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your attendance. Yes, thank you.